Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well with your host, Rita. I have an exciting guest today, as always. You know, we're going to be talking about self-care, self-love, you know, what she does for self-care. And she definitely, you know, has gone through a lot of, you know, life challenges, which she'll share with us. So today we have SJ Childs, or she goes by Sarah Childs. She is a book author and a podcaster. She's a children's book author. And we're going to be exploring, you know, what she's overcome, and, you know, in what she does and how she stays on track. But before we dive deep today, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for activewear leggings, crystals, sage, natural soaps, natural candles, natural deodorants, and much more. And so for all of our podcast listeners, you can use discount code HAPPY25 for 25% off all activewear leggings. Okay, so Sarah, so you are a children's book author, and you've been doing that for 7 years, and you have your own podcast. And, you know, from what we've discussed before, you've been a house mom, and you're a caregiver to, you know, children that have autism. So that must be like, you have to really give your time. I mean, being a mom in general is hard.
Yeah. Right.
Well, like, how do you?
It's like a 24-hour challenge, basically, every day.
and also being a wife too, right?
Yeah.
Caring for your husband, giving him attention as well, right? You know, this is what, you know, typically what women are.
Yeah.
We're nurturers.
And, yeah. And he has autism also. So the whole family. So I have a unique perspective of living through that.
So how do you find time for yourself? Like, how do you give yourself self-care, you know, while you're caring for others at a high level? Like, what do you do for yourself to de-stress and take the edge off in a healthy way?
You know, I think that first and foremost, I start with my mindset as much as possible. I really have a passion for being positive and bringing optimism. I like to share that with people. And I started probably a year or so ago, just in a group that I run, doing a daily quote. And I started getting some really great feedback and how that was really helping others throughout their day. And so I said, well, I'm not going to keep it just in this group. I should start that on my regular page and, you know, integrate it into everything. And it's amazing that not only the work that I put into finding the quotes, because that is already, you know, you're thinking positive, you're thinking, how can I bring positive messages to others, which then, you know, really aligns with the messages that I want to bring. And so that's been a really great motivating thing that's happened over the last year or so, that every single morning I just get up and, like, the first thing I do is post a positive quote. And yes, I'm, you know, probably should be stretching or exercising or anything, but I think that it most importantly, having my mindset and getting my my ideas in line for, okay, how can I make a positive effect on my day today? And that seems to really be working, and I love it. I love the feedback. When I can get out and take my dogs for walks, you know, everybody loves nature and time with animals. I think that that really helps bring you back to just a simple space for yourself. There's no expectations. Your dog doesn't care what you're wearing or, you know, things like that. It's just very free flowing. And I feel like during that time, I can really connect with just the world around me. And I don't have to be in the space where, okay, I just saw my phone, I just saw my computer, I better think about all my appointments that I have. I better think about that shopping list I have to make. I better think, you know, and when you really give yourself that space to turn off and to turn away from the electronics and things like that, and reignite your own ideas and creations, I love that space. I love to be in that space. And, you know, my life is hectic. There's, our kids are homeschooled, not only that. I mean, so everybody's home all the time and it can be stressful. It can be overwhelming, noisy. At the same time, I can find peace in something as simple as graphic design. I get onto Canva, which is a design app, and I will just spend hours on there creating promotions for my show, you know, things, ideas for the books, or just, you know, quotes, if things like that. So I think that those types of permissions to give yourself, it is so great to do. And I can do that throughout my day. You know, I can stop if I'm, you know, waiting for an appointment or something and go into Canva. And it's like, you just let yourself go. You just forget about all the stresses and the expectations, if you will, of life. So those are really simple things that I like to do. And then one other thing, as I was telling you before, is that, you know, before I started the podcast, I had really, when I step outside now and look at it, really kind of lost myself for a very long time. Really was so wrapped up in caring for my children, you know, providing them the right tools for their day, that I stopped caring about myself. And I stopped caring about doing my hair and putting on a nice clothes and things like that. And you don't even recognize, after you've been doing it day in and day out, that you've got yourself to this place. And so it really took some courage, that's the word I'm trying to come up with, you know, and kind of almost like, okay, if I want to do this, if I want to start a new hobby, career, any, you know, be a podcaster, like, I'm going to have to be presentable in front of a camera. And getting your mindset to be confident enough to do that, it can take some time. I think I was going onto podcasts, promoting my children's books. And it was through that I was getting experience in front of the camera, getting experience on the microphone. And it was encouragement from other podcasters saying, you're a natural at this. You've got this perfect for you. Do this. And, you know, I had never even considered it to be something I could do, but the value that it has brought to me, probably to my family, because it's brought myself, you know, confidence up so much, but being able to, get in front of the camera, to do my hair and, you know, makeup once again, and put some nice clothes on, it is such a difference in your day, such a huge difference. And I think that it's so simple that you take it for granted and don't even recognize that it's missing or that it's here, right? So I think that it's important to kind of stop and look at it and be thankful and appreciate that moment where, okay, I've just gone from house mom to now I look at on camera. Now I'm like this presentable adult, being able to interact with other adults. Thank heavens again, right? Because going in and out throughout my day, it's just, you know, children's needs constantly that I had completely forgotten and just gotten lost in this, it wasn't even like a dark place or anything like that. It's just much as a monotony. So yeah, it's interesting how that happens.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah. I've never had someone say they find peace working on Canva. Interesting. So
yeah,
I find it work.
Love it. I think I need to just maybe use this as a career move and start maybe charging and doing some designs for people, right? I even think of that, but I really do. I love to spend time there. I get lost in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I guess, you know, what you're describing with Canva is a lot like what an artist would experience when they are creating their artwork.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. In terms of an artist, when they're creating their artwork, you know, obviously it involves a lot of focus and concentration, and they're creating something, and it's, you know, involves a lot of creativity, and they're using their hands, and there's an hand-eye coordination there, and a skill set in terms of, you know, how you use shapes and colors and stuff like that to play around with. Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, though, it is work. You know, some artists end up, you know, getting into blocks or, you know, pressure kicks and a particular piece is not selling, and, you know, there's like highs and lows, right? Because at the end of the day,
yeah, definitely, you
know, work is work. So, how do you connect with yourself in order to recharge yourself?
Yeah,
so you get to work, you're fueled, and, you know, when we finish work, you know, we fill ourselves up through de-stressing, right?
Yeah.
When you're podcasting, you're interacting with people, you know, it is a skill set. You have to have active listening skills. You're thinking of great, you know, questions to ask your your guest, right? And then there's uploading, and then there's copywriting. I mean, it's a job, right?
Yeah.
So, and it takes energy. And so what do you do like to continue to, you know, have that relaxed time?
Yeah.
What is it that you do?
Well, you know, I guess the best thing that I've found for like really refocusing and being able to de-stress and everything is sleep frequency music that I probably put on every night. Every night I put on either, and my husband too, if I don't have it on, he'll put it on for us. And it's great to have the togetherness, but like you said, to be able to go on and say, okay, I'm feeling like I would really like a detox, you know, just all the negative feelings, negative emotions, anything like that. So I'll go on and I'll find us a special sleep frequency detox, and I'll put that on for the night. And it's incredible how the way you wake up the next morning. I think it really has a lot to do with your intentions that you're setting for yourself throughout your day, throughout all of the time. And with those intentions to be set that, okay, this time for sleeping, I really want to let go. I really want to decompress. You know, I want to realign all my chakras. And, you know, if you're into energy healing and spiritual healing like that, those things for me are so wonderful because I truly have the belief and the intent for them. So those things are calming for me as well. I love to do pick card tarot readings some days to just kind of get the right message as to, okay, what's okay for me to work on right now? What's okay for me to let go of? Because I think that going into that with that, the intention of finding your own answers is where you find them. You know, a lot of people probably, there's not as much of a stigma around, you know, tarot and things like that as there used to be, but it is still out there. And I think that for me, I believe in it. I think that it's brought me so many answers and being able to say, okay, well, this is what I might be holding on to. So maybe I need to look deeper at that. You know, my, you know, relationship with my parents, for example, and I was an only child from divorced parents that moved around a lot. And so there was so much isolation and loneliness that it caused a plethora of anxiety attacks and anxiety conditions and, you know, blisters. And I would just like rub my hands until I just, what they were sore. And I would get these horrible anxiety attacks where I couldn't breathe. And so I think it really, it took a lot of finding out, of wanting to find out, number one, how can I help myself? How can I overcome these struggles and these anxiety attacks? Because it's debilitating. You know, it leaves you feeling completely out of energy, completely depleted, and emotionally draining, you know, and it's not only hard for me, but obviously hard for the people that are around me, because it's out of their control. And at that moment, it's out of my control. And that's what makes it so hard to deal with. So I, you know, through kind of looking into my own self and seeing, what do I need to heal? What do I need to let go of? What am I holding on to from my childhood, or from the way that people used to speak to me, the ideas I had of my identity that are holding on to those things so tightly and bringing them into my current day life? And it was a lot of those exact things, letting go of traumatic, you know, abuse that had occurred that I had covered up with, everything's fine, everything looks great. And so for me, that's hard, because I think that that's the persona that I have like built onto for a lot of things, but it's also who I am. It's not a fake me. It's not the fake me, but it's also the protective side of me who have, you know, covers that up with sweetness and sensitivity to not have to be dark or destructive or anything like that. And so it's so interesting, but about probably in July, August, I had an Akashic Records reading done. And I don't know if you've ever had that done before for you. And in the process, it was really neat to kind of discover some things that I've been holding on to, not only like in this lifetime, but my soul in other lifetimes had held on to, like negative agreements with people and things that held me down and kept me from really moving past and breaking free of the pressure, which was then the anxiety, and which then caused all the conditions on top of it. And so it was through that, you know, the woman gave me like a workshop or a worksheet to work on for the next 21 days after. And it was a reading that I did that basically said, you know, I'm letting go of all of these things. I'm releasing these things. And it was structured in a way that was probably, I don't know, connecting with, you know, that it on my soul level that you just don't know consciously is even occurring to you. And so when I did this, it's incredible. Like since that time, so it's been a couple of months now, which is nice because I can see the results at the end and I can see how I haven't had any like anxiety breathing, none, no heavy breathing. It was like three times a week or more that I would just be, you know, and having to be calm and put my arms up and calming down. And sometimes I couldn't even equate if it was my own emotions going on around me, if it was the weather, you know, causing barometric pressure or something. But ultimately, since I've said, like, I no longer am holding on to these agreements that are so deeply ingrained in me, I've let go of all those things have stopped. Those things have stopped occurring. And so for me, I mean, what a freedom to be, wow, breathing freely, right? And not having pressure in my chest and in my mind and just overall that was, like I said, negatively affecting myself, my relationships, I'm sure that my kids were seeing it and I don't know how they process that kind of, you know, situation. But ultimately, before the whole anxiety, before I overcame it, I did write a children's book about anxiety. And it was so nice to be able to say, okay, kids, like children don't understand biological things that are going on in their body because they're just little and they don't have experience yet. So be able to explain, like, when your chest is hurting and your heart is pounding, you might have a stomach ache, and, you know, those are anxiety. And those are things that if that tell you that something's wrong, that tell you that something, that you're worried about something, that you're scared about something, or just your instincts that maybe something's going to happen. And that's really important that you are comfortable to get help or ask for, you know, and let somebody know, because giving our kids those tools to help, you know, get help is so important, because they just don't know, and we have to guide them in those directions. So it's been such a blessing. And now I can even take it one step further, maybe make a second book, right? That says, here's how to overcome your anxiety altogether. You know, and obviously for little kids, the whole, like, you know, past lives and things probably isn't going to be the way to go. But I think that overall, just letting them know that teaching them early, number one, hopefully will be able to, like, catch these things and help them not have these lifelong struggles with anxiety and things like that. So yeah, I think it's been an interesting journey to here today.
Yeah. I mean, even some adults don't know what anxiety looks like or feels like.
And they're not, yeah,
listening to their bodies. So, I mean, a lot of adults actually, because, you know, just due to, you know, just being stuck in your mind and just, you know, going through the motions of life and operating on default, you know, go to work, yeah, wake up, go to work, there's lunchtime, okay, home, dinner, laundry, grocery. I mean, you know, you go into this default operating, and people are not paying attention to,
yeah,
when their heart rate goes up more or when their muscles tense up, even, you know, during movies. And this is what people still, you know, who want to up level, who want to transform, go to personal development events to learn how to transform.
Yeah.
And this is what they tell you: start paying attention to what's going on in your body. So it's not,
yeah,
it's actually adults that really need the education.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even when children are taught, because I remember when I was in school, I was taught, you know, how to meditate, and we had a teacher that was, I guess, enlightened, and she,
yes,
was. And so, but, you know, you grow up and you forget these things because
you do really, practicing them a daily.
Yeah, it's not a part of our mainstream culture. So it's just, again, yeah, I was exposed to these practices at a young age, just because due to the demands of, you know, school life, university life, social life, you know, winning awards, contests, scholar, you know, it's nonstop. So
yeah,
it's just really easy to abandon those practices, you know, when you're an adult or young adult. So because life is just really busy. There's so many things demanding our attention.
Yeah.
And you can get so focused on productivity and achieving high productivity levels. And I mean, I'm guilty of this too at times, when it's so easy to just get so focused on a work loop. And mm-hmm. The thing is, like, I strategically pull myself out to do self-care, because then it'll just lead to burnout and I don't make the best decisions. And you end up sabotaging your success anyways. Mm-hmm. So I pull myself out, do my self-care, and also too, doesn't, you're mentioning tarot. So it seems like you are getting comfort through having something to give you certainty around making decisions or what's going on. So, and with tarot too, like, it can increase your intuition if you, you know, what does the symbols mean to you and stuff like that. So there's a variety of ways to increase your intuition, because life, you know, there's uncertainty in life. And a lot of people get more anxiety around that. So So those are fabulous ways that, you know, you can assess, in terms of, you know, paying attention to your body, accessing your intuition to achieve more certainty and not live in the realm of uncertainty that, you know, causes stress and anxiety. So, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to purchase your books for their children, where can they go?
My website, sjchilds.org, easy as that. You could find the children's books there, a lot of autism items and things that I have for families, and also the podcast, which is about bringing value to families through education and resources. So yeah, anyone that'd like to hop over, I'd love to have you there. And you'll also find Miss Rita on one of the latest episode, in fact. So such a pleasure to collaborate and to be able to share with your listeners as well as mine. So I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, and I highly encourage everybody to check out SG Child's podcast and her books for your children. It's such a, you know, we do need to teach our children, you know, to pay attention to their bodies and how to access their intuition and release anxiety and stress in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So that's very important. So thanks so much, Sarah, for being
on the podcast
and sharing your story and giving the audience strategies and a lovely resource for their children so that they can tap into self-care and tap into living a more healthier, like, you know, lifestyle and not get sucked into staying in the realm of stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
It's really toxic if left building up without having healthy ways to release them. As we all know, it leads to a whole host of issues. Chronic fatigue can lead to chronic fatigue and, you know, chronic headaches and insomnia. It's, you know, it's just not good. So this is why it's to practice self-care and release stress and anxiety in healthy ways. So again, everybody check out SG Child's podcast and her website, you know, to purchase her children's books so that you can teach your child on healthy ways to live a healthier life. So thanks so much, Sarah, sending you tons of light, love, blessings.
Thank you. It was so great to reconnect again. Thanks, Rita.
Yes, I agree.